Steve is our pastor of ministries. They have 3 adult sons, a daughter, and 2 granddogs. And both her and Steve were teachers in the public school system. Kathy taught elementary education, learning disabilities, behavior disorders, and now she tutors children. So she's still helping out, which I love. Kathy has a huge heart for moms and teaching, talking with them about connecting their everyday life with God's word, which is so very important. So we thank you. I asked Kathy what is her favorite tradition that her family does. And she said since all of her children are grown now, all of their traditions center around food, which my heart can relate to. So she said on Christmas Eve, they eat Chinese food together. And one of her sons went to LSU. Go Tigers. I'm an LSU fan. And he learned how to cook Cajun food. So on Christmas Eve, they eat Cajun food. And on Christmas Eve, they eat Chinese food, which I think is fun. So I'd like to introduce to you Kathy.
Sorry, we're just going to record.
Oh, sure. Okay. So I have to tell you, you know, you discover things as your kids get older that you didn't realize earlier. And one of the traditions we had when our kids were growing up for Christmas, did anybody make the Jell-O poke cake? You know what I'm talking about? You poke holes in the cake. Thank you. Somebody's shaking their head. And you pour Jell-O over it. And, you know, so we did the red and green. We did this for years until we found out nobody really likes the cake. So, you know, you have to make adjustments as you go. Well, I am delighted to be here with you this evening and to get to share with you along this theme. I love your theme, walking with God through motherhood. I love it. I have to say, one of the things that came out of the pandemic for me was walking more. Can anybody else relate? Is anybody else doing that? Yeah, isn't that amazing? So I found that often, instead of a friend saying, let's meet for coffee, we're saying, let's meet and go walking. And recently I had a friend say, why don't you come over and let's walk around my townhouse, and I want to show you the condo that I helped my mom buy, and I helped her decorate it. Let's go for a walk. And so, great. So, you know, we're walking. This is all unfamiliar territory to me, and I have no idea where we're going, but it doesn't matter because we're just totally engaged in conversation, and we're just sharing our hearts with each other. And so I'm just enjoying walking with her, and wherever she's going, that's where I'm going. I really have no clue where I am. If she left me, I would be lost. I'd never find my way back. And sometimes, you know, maybe she's sort of motioning, you know, kind of headed this way or this way. Or every once in a while, she might actually be telling me, we're going to cross the street here and then go to the right. But, you know, I don't have to worry about it because I am with somebody who knows the way, right? So doesn't that give us a little bit of a picture of walking with God? Mm-hmm. Just that sweet, intimate fellowship of sharing hearts. And we're just sticking with him because, you know, the one to lead is always the one who knows the most, right? It's the one who knows the way. That's the one who leads. And the first question I want us to ask ourselves tonight is, am I walking with God? Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. You might think you know if you'll just look at the words, but I'm going to tell you what often happened to me in motherhood at this stage was I had a path. I kind of knew the way I wanted it to go. And it usually had to do with things like good grades and good friends and good health. And it had to do with first string, making first cuts, right? And so I had this path kind of mapped out in my mind. And I often asked God if he would like to come walk with me on my path and bless my path that I had figured out. I see a few people shaking heads. Yes, can you kind of relate? And so I want us to ask ourselves, are we walking with God and motherhood? Are we letting him lead? It's actually very freeing when we don't know the path ahead, isn't it? To know that he is leading, because we have no idea what's next. As Rachel was saying, you don't even know what's happening the next morning, right? And the real blessing, too, is just thinking about the fact that he never leaves. You're never walking alone. So I want us to look at this passage, and you have a handout. If you're one of those people that likes to take notes, you're welcome to. You're welcome to just listen. But on it, it has the scripture that you are going to be studying this year, and I want us to take a few minutes to look at that. This is from the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah was a prophet who was writing to the southern tribes of Israel, and he is warning them of judgment to come. It's a theme that he keeps repeating, but it's so beautiful the way God breaks in with messages of hope, even during all these warnings. And he's pleading with them to listen to God, because the problem was they were traveling on a path of their own. They had left God's path. As a matter of fact, even at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 30, he says, "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine. Who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Listen to this part. "Who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction." Okay, so they clearly knew that they needed help. And moms, don't we know we need help? We have a big job to do, right? But here's where he reprimands them. "They set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction." It was a matter of where they were turning. So we begin to see this problem. If you look at verse 18, which I think is on your sheet, I'm going to start there. And my version may be just slightly different from yours. I think yours is probably the NIV, and I'm reading from the ESV. But in verse 18, it says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." So the first thing I want us to notice out of this passage is how God describes himself. It's actually a great way to look at scripture, is rather than looking at who we are, look at who God is, because that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? So what he says about himself, what God reveals about himself, is that God is a God of justice. So if we think about it, we've all chosen our own paths, haven't we? There's none righteous, no, not one. And God is telling us that he is a God of justice. We all deserve to be punished for sin and separation from him. But if you look at what else it says, "Therefore he exalts himself to show," what? "To show mercy." So isn't it wonderful that he's a God of justice, but he's also a God of mercy? And so Jesus took the punishment for our sin so that, look at the next part. It shows, it reveals another aspect of God. "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you." So God shows his mercy. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. And then he goes beyond that and he shows us grace, right? And he's waiting for us so that he can show us grace. And he's told us why he's waiting. If we think about what I was sharing in those verses before, he's waiting for the Israelites. He's waiting for us. Why? Because we've chosen our own path. The Israelites were going their own way. And so he was waiting. We have a waiting God. And he's waiting for us. Look at the last part of verse 18. "Blessed are all those who" do what? Wait. "Blessed are all those who wait for him." So we have a waiting God, and he's waiting for us to wait on him. So if you think a little bit about what it means to wait on God, the verse that comes to my mind is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that one. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That's what it means to wait on him, doesn't it? It means I believe him, I'm going to trust him. "Do not lean, don't rely on your own understanding." Okay, I have to tell you, in mothering, I have tended to do that a lot. because I'm good at problem solving and figuring things out. And God did give us a mind. We're to love God with our minds. He's given us the ability to reason. Just, I don't always get it in the right order of waiting on him first and seeking him first. So let's look at the next couple verses here. If you keep in mind, Isaiah is writing, and some of what he's talking about is going to be fulfilled soon, and some of it is going to be fulfilled later. And he says, "For a people shall dwell in Zion," in Jerusalem, "you shall weep no more." And we know that hasn't happened yet, but aren't you looking forward to the day that Jesus is going to wipe every one of our tears. Just about you think about how tender you are when you wipe your child's tears. Someday he's going to do that for us. For people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you. There's that word gracious again. At the sound of your cry, as soon as he hears it, he answers you. Now, does it feel like he always answers you as soon as you cry? Because sometimes his answer is no to our requests, right? Sometimes it, oftentimes I have found, it is wait. And the waiting is purposeful. Let's look at this next part, and I think that will help us understanding a little bit. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, I would love to talk about that more, and I'm so glad you're going to be talking about walking with God and motherhood through trials, right, Rachel? That's one of your topics coming up. Yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. Their prophets were having to hide in caves, okay? But there will come a time your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. We have that to look forward to. Someday we are going to see our teacher face to face. We're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face. And here's your theme verse for the year. So whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." So this unseen teacher is behind us. We don't see him, but he sees us. He is Elroy. He is the God who sees. He sees every aspect of your life. He sees what is behind you. He knows what's ahead of you. He knows exactly what's in your child's heart. He knows exactly where they're headed, right? He is the God who's behind you, seeing you. And listen to what he is telling us. He can see when you're about to veer off to the right or the left, right? And you'll hear this word behind you. He says, "This is the way, walk in it." So the problem is not the voice. The problem is the ears, right? Can't you relate to that, moms? Just think about all the times that you have found that your kids somehow didn't hear you saying it was time for homework, but the minute you say dessert, they're there, right? They're ready. So as moms, we also have to tune out a lot of voices. If you think about, let's say, I know it's rare that we actually get phone calls anymore, right? But let's say you've gotten a phone call, and it's that all-important call that tells you have just won $2 billion if you just give them your credit card and your, no, not, just kidding, not that call. Let's say it's the phone call that you are waiting for because your child's ill and you're hearing from the doctor and you need to know the exact protocol and you have to be very attentive to everything that they're saying. And in the background, what's going on?
Chaos,
right? Because you're a mom, of course it's chaos, especially if it's dinner time, right? And so, you know, there's a TV going on and there's a video game somewhere else and the dishwasher is running and they're always, you know, that's tennis shoes in the dryer, right? And isn't there always somebody calling you from the most remote part of the house, right? And all of that's going on and you're trying to tune it out because you're trying to tune into something that's really critical to listen to. So we have a lot of voices coming from a lot of different directions. I want us to talk about that together for just a few minutes, because the next question I want us to ask is, am I filtering other voices? Oh, my dear friends, you have so many voices right now that have to be filtered, don't they? And so I want us to just think for a minute, what are some of the voices that are clamoring for your attention regarding mothering? Now, you may not, I'm not asking for names like of your mother-in-law or, you know, I'm thinking more generically here, like categories. And I shouldn't say that because my mother-in-law is one of the wisest women I know. But so that was a little bit of stereotyping there. But what are some categories of voices that we have to be careful to filter? Doesn't mean that we tune them out altogether, maybe, but we have to filter. Why don't you brainstorm with me? Just a few words here.
Social media.
Social media, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to repeat them for the recording here, so.
Feelings of doubt.
Feelings of doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Podcasts. All the podcasts. There's so many.
Many, many podcasts. Somebody else would say.
I'm just saying news.
News. Thank you for saying that. Other moms. We have wonderful mom friends. I'm so thankful. This is a room full of wonderful mom friends. You all are to be applauded for being here and encouraging each other. But, you know, comparison with other mom friends, right? When a mom friend says something like, well, in our family, and they begin to tell you what they see as right, what do we tend to do? Oh, we compare ourselves, you know. And so we end up one of two directions. Either when we compare with other people, we either feel prideful or we feel guilt and shame, right? Neither one is very accurate, right? So we learn from each other, but we have to be very careful that we filter those voices. Just because that's right for their family doesn't necessarily mean that that's right for your family, okay? Any other voices that we have to be careful about? I'm going to give you more time to talk about that at your tables tonight, too, because I think this is a really big topic in my mind. I'll give you a few that come to mind. Sometimes it's extended family who have standards or ideas that may be different. And how are we filtering all of these? They're all going through the lens of what God says, right? And that's our filter. So we're thinking through, how does it line up with that? Educators, I hope you have wonderful teachers. I mean, that's a great thing to keep praying for our kids, isn't it? And they may have some really valuable input, but again, you may have to filter a little bit, right? I even see teachers nodding their heads. Thank you. I can think of three general categories that this may help you to think a little bit more as you're exploring this. The world, the devil, and flesh. Those three categories all have some things that we have to be careful about. Satan is going to cause us to doubt God's goodness. His goodness in our circumstances with our kids. It could be even really subtle and doubting God's goodness and the way he designed your child. In the gifts and abilities and skills that he's given you, your circumstances. If you find yourself doubting God's, you know, that can be really subtle, but let's watch to see if we might be doubting God's goodness. What about the world? Well, you guys have mentioned a lot of different topics that would fit into that category as well. But I'll tell you the things that come to my mind. When my kids were growing up, and we would be discussing what was and wasn't important. And sometimes it had to do with like the brand of tennis shoes that they needed to buy. We would begin to talk about how the world mixes up the price tags on what's important, right? And don't you find that in your mothering too, as to what's important? The price tags get mixed up. They're not always lined up with what God says is valuable. So we have to be careful at how the world defines success, particularly with, and I'm an educator, so I'm really devoted to education, but you're probably already hearing some of this. And as your kids get older, especially as they get into high school, you gotta get great grades in high school. Why? So you can go to a good college. And why do you have to go to a good college? So you can get a good job. And why do you need a good job? To make lots of money or to have status, you know? So we have to be careful when what the rest of the world is saying is important. Same thing with sports. All my kids played sports. I love sports. It teaches them teamwork and discipline. And there's so many values to it. But you got to be careful what price you put on that, don't you? Materialism. You know, if I'm a good mom, I'm going to, you know, and good parents, we're going to have a good house for our kids, going to have a good car, we got to have good vacations, right? We got to filter those voices through God's values. I'm going to tell you now the third category is the flesh, the voice I think we have to especially be careful about is our own. Because do you ever find yourself telling yourself something that really isn't true? If I was a good mom, and you fill in the blank, right? I remember at one point thinking to myself, because I was looking at kind of where our family was, I was feeling some discouragement, and I remember the thought going through my mind, do you mean I gave up my career for this? This is the way it's turning out. And I caught myself, fortunately, and began to change some of my thinking to realizing the investment that I had made. But we have to be really careful of our own voice, don't we? We can be our greatest critic, and so we need to be careful that we're telling ourselves the truth. So in all of this, we're watching to see if our advice is lining up with Scripture. And we just kind of filter those voices and thinking, is this helping me to follow Jesus? As I'm listening to advice, is it helping me to lead my children to be more like Jesus, right? So we filter those voices. So I kind of picture it this way. If you picture life as this story that's unfolding, you know, sometimes it's an adventure, sometimes it's a drama, right? But you are in this scene, on this stage of mothering, and the plot is thickening, and you've been seeing the rising action, right? Can you leave home without taking everything you own with you now? How many of you are out of diapers? Yay! Yes! So you see, the plot is developing, right? And there's a lot of character development going on at this stage. But you're listening to the voice of the director. It's the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But there's only one voice that you need to be listening to. And a lot of times we look out at the audience, right? It might be other moms, some of those categories that we just listed, and we want to be careful that that's not the voice that's directing us, right? Sometimes, honestly, we look at the other players on the stage. We look at our family. We look at our kids. I hope that at some point in your life you have a child like I had who said to me, you're such so a good mom. But the chances aren't real good that that's going to happen regularly. And sometimes we're looking at them trying to get some feedback, you know, aren't I a good mom? And you may or may not get it from that source. But the only voice that matters is the director of the play, right? That's the one we want to listen to. And the really good news is when you look out in the audience, the only audience that matters is the same voice. That's the only applause we're to be looking for, isn't it? So God is the director, and he's the only audience that matters. So let's talk for a minute about, am I in a position to listen to God? We've talked about what it means to walk with God in motherhood. We have talked a little bit about, am I filtering other voices? So that's sort of the put off. Let's talk about the put on, and am I in a position to listen to God? Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Okay, let's talk real practically. How do we hear that word? In the book of Hebrews, at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, it talks about how in the past we've heard God through the prophets, but in the later days God has spoken to us how? Through his Son. Jesus is the Word of God. He's God's communication to us. And all of this book is either telling about his coming, or he's entering the world in his teaching, or he's coming again, right? So all of this book of Scripture is inspired. It's all God-breathed. It's all, 2 Timothy says, it's all profitable. Now, we can't say that about any other voice, can we? This is the only voice that we don't have to filter. So all God's words are profitable for, listen to what it's profitable for, instruction. That is the message of here's the path, right? It's profitable for rebuke. That is, you went a little to the right or to the left. It's profitable for correction. Here's how to get back on the path. And it's profitable for training over and over and over again. Isn't God so patient with us? It gives me incentive to be patient with other people. And I hope it gives you the incentive to be patient with your kids too. That training. So that instruction, that rebuke, where we go, oh, I blew it again. Lord, I was wrong. I just yelled at my kids. I'm telling you I'm sorry. I'm telling them I'm sorry. And then we get back on the path, right? And we do that over and over and over again. I remember one of my kids saying to me one time, Mom, you're upset with me, but really I think you're upset because you burned the potatoes. Okay, you called me on it. But isn't it sweet that when we apologize to the Lord and say, I was wrong, please forgive me, he forgives us, and our kids are really forgiving too when we ask for their forgiveness. So how do we go from this book and spending time in this book to it being practical to hearing God's voice? It's not an audible voice. The only thing we can be absolutely sure that he is saying is, it's written down. I'm so glad it's written down. That's the only thing that we can be sure of. But how do we go from make that practical? Well, first of all, wherever God puts a period, we're not going to put a question mark, right? There's some things that are pretty plain. For instance, bad company corrupts good morals. So when our kids are trying to make a decision about their friends, and we see that this is not a good relationship, this is a child that is pulling my son or my daughter away from the Lord, that's pretty clear, right? But there's so much that isn't clear, like, do I put my child in the Spanish immersion program? Do they take a math class, an upper level math class? How can I get my kids to quit fighting? Every summer we memorized how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I have three sons. it's a lot more complicated than just getting them to memorize a Bible verse, isn't it? How do I help my child that's dealing with anxiety? Well, there's a lot of verses that deal with anxiety, but how do I get that from scripture to being able to actually live it, right? And so I want to share with you just real practically what has been helpful to me. So, and I think I have this on your sheet too. What we're really looking for is wisdom, right? And wisdom is the ability to see life and our circumstances from God's perspective. So meditation and prayer with a posture of submission leads to wisdom. So meditation is that letting God's word soak into our minds. Where I hope you're involved in Bible study on your own and with some other people. But it goes beyond studying the Bible. We want to read it. We want to study it. We want to memorize it. But meditating means that we're letting it just really soak into our mind. We're taking the words apart and really thinking about the phrases until it actually just becomes part of us. And the Holy Spirit does that. He takes God's word as we meditate on it and think about it until it just is saturating our mind. And then the next part of that is prayer. And you know, as you're praying for your child, you're praying for your own heart as a mom, right? It always starts with us. We're praying for our own heart. We're praying for our child's heart. We're praying for their circumstances. We're praying for the things that are probably grabbing our attention and troubling us. And our mind is being formed by all that scripture that we've been saturated with. And then the last part of that, and I was just thinking, I always like hearing other people share ideas. So I'll share one that I had. I meet with some of the other pastors' wives and ministry wives, and last year we focused on prayer. And so we gave everybody these little note cards, and I decided to use, and it was with the idea of praying, I decided we were focusing on praying scripture. And so I chose some verses for each of my kids. Like, if you want to make sure you're praying God's will, that's pretty obvious, right? If you're praying scripture. And it's really fun to look back now and see some of the specifics of scripture that I've been praying over the past year and watch how God is beginning to work in the lives of my kids. So I just throw that out there in terms of praying for our families. But the last part of that is a posture of submission. Now, if you think about, if your child comes to you and says, okay, I know I can have this many kids come to my birthday party, and I have a list, and would you go through with me and help me decide which ones, you know, would probably be the wisest for me to invite? And what if you go through that list with them, and then when they're all done, they say, okay, thank you, Annie, but I'm going to do what I want. Never mind. You know? Do you see why it's so important for us to have an attitude of submission to God? Why would he reveal to us insight and his will if we're not in a posture of I'm ready to submit? I'm going to follow you whatever you show me. That occurred to me the other day when I was reading Psalm 25. Who is the man that fears the Lord? And we know the fear of the Lord, the respect of God, is the beginning of wisdom, right? Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way he should choose. So as you spend time meditating on his word, praying for his word, praying for your children, I believe God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to personalize his message to your heart. I can't tell you how many times I have been praying for my kids, sometimes kneeling by their beds when they were out of the house. Just was a special thing I love to do. But pouring out my heart to God and praying maybe for their circumstances, praying for their needs, And God would bring to my mind, I know many of you have experienced this too, some idea. It was either something new to try, or it might be a conversation I needed to have, or someone that I could ask for advice. Aren't you glad God gave you walking buddies? And you have mentor moms in here. You have lots of resources of people to talk to. And if he didn't give me the wisdom that I needed for that circumstance, he gave me the courage and the perseverance to wait, to just wait on him until he was willing to reveal to me what I was supposed to do. So I hope that you will keep increasing your time with the Lord. There's nothing more important that you can do as a mom. And I hope that's something you'll talk about at your tables too. If you have mentor moms in here, I certainly would be delighted to talk to you if you want some help figuring out how to get time with the Lord and what to do in that time that you're spending with God daily. So are my eyes on the destination? And we'll close with this. What is the destination? Well, I'm walking with God. I hope you have a sweet picture of holding his hand and enjoying the journey together and his directing you. And as we're walking, our eyes are on eternity and the hope of eternity. And we're walking in that direction. And you know, his path is designed to make us look more like Jesus as we spend time with him. And you're going to continue walking with God as a mom. You'll always be a mom, even though you're mothering. Your active mothering days have a finite number to them, but you'll always be a mom and you'll always be walking with God. So what does success and motherhood look like? Well, let me just tell you, first of all, what it doesn't look like. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like your kids turn out exactly like you hoped they would. You may or may not feel successful by looking at your kids. So if we're looking at success based on the outcome, then wouldn't you say God is an utter failure? Because look at all of us. So I can guarantee you it'll probably look different for each of us in varying degrees. But success is faithfully listening to the director and watching his applause as the audience. And it's walking with God and leading your kids to do the same. So as you focus on your walk with God, then you leave the results to God, right? You are not responsible for the outcome. You're responsible for walking with him and leading your kids to do the same. So it's wonderful to acknowledge our inadequacies. It positions us to listen to the voice behind us telling us, this is the way, walk in it. So why don't you join me in prayer? Lord, I thank you for these dear moms. I thank you for their love for you. Their desire to walk with you in motherhood. And Lord, as we focus on that theme this year, would you remind us that you never leave us and you always lead us. Help us to listen to your voice through your word, to filter out any voices that aren't in line with your word, and help us to follow faithfully, because we know that even as we follow you, we are being followed. And the most important lesson we can teach our children is to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Would you give these women courage and strength and the time they need to walk well with you? In Jesus' name, amen.